The following podcast has been brought to you by Badger Club.
Boys and girls, children of all ages, Rambling Show probably brings to you, one half of the longest reigning tag team champions of the world. The Agent of F6X, joining me as always.
Jesus. It is I, your former 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of them damn things. 10 times. Ramblemania champion of all the realms, of all the multiverse. TJ the Great. TJ the Great. Of course, we are the Banter Club. We are here to discuss AEW Dynamite on Deho's Network. Dynamite, says JJ, and then the holes was out there like dynamite.
It was like, I got
holes. You got them holes. They out there in the area codes, and you know what they here to do. They bring us back the information so we can talk about the news items in and out and about the world of pro wrestling. And you know, they brought a few things back this week. One, you know, sad bit of news across the industry. Let's kick it off with that. Superstar Billy Graham passes away at 79 years old. Mm-hmm. I saw a tweet that called him the Citizen Kane of pro wrestling, which is probably one of the best ways to describe him. Like, if you were ever a fan of Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Jesse Ventura, pretty much any, like, major star that came up in the 80s.
All them pretty frilly motherfuckers who had colorful shit and fluffy hair.
Yeah, pretty blonde muscle boys, you know, looking like, you know, roided up surfers or whatever. If you were into any of those types of guys back in the day.
Stinger and...
Sting too. All Warrior. That shit originated with Superstar Billy Graham. Even the promo style, all of that. Styling and profiling, like...
Yeah, all that shit talking, that almost Muhammad Ali-esque.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I believe he said himself that Muhammad Ali was one of his guys.
Yeah, the guys that inspired him, because of course, Muhammad Ali, probably the greatest shit talker of all time.
Yeah.
But in our realm, in the pro wrestling realm, Billy Graham, massively influential to so many legends of the business in the eras that came after him. A big loss, a big part of history in pro wrestling, someone that, you know, definitely one of those names that you should go back and check the history, check, you know, his resume and everything he's done, because you can't talk about pro wrestling's evolution throughout the 70s and the 80s and beyond without talking about Superstar Billy Graham.
Facts. Listen to anything Dusty has ever said ever.
Dusty too, yeah.
That's literally where they got it from Superstar Billy Graham. I remember being in it was either early high school or late junior high, because that's back when I used to go to Subway games by 190.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Right, mm-hmm. Right by G-Dubs?
Yeah.
So I used to go to that game shop all the time, and I remember seeing the DVDs there when they came out. Remember when that DVD came out back in the day?
Yeah, I do.
And that was like one of like the big WWE DVDs that you could buy back then, and it was like, wow. Really grand. It was around the time, I think, that the destruction of the Ultimate Warrior or whatever, the self-destruction of that one.
Yeah. Like, they came out with this, you know, nice little doc about Billy Graham and then buried the fuck out of Warrior.
Fuck Warrior. I'm like, damn, bro, wow. And, you know, I didn't know all the fuck shit he had said about, you know, all that other shit. Yeah. You know, I never look at that part of Ultimate Warrior. To me, like, there was Ultimate Warrior, the wrestler guy that we grew up with and that we, you know, and then afterwards, that motherfucker.
You generally try to remember Warrior as the guy who ran to the ring and press slammed the motherfucker and ran away and talked about space and shit.
Yeah. and was high as a fucking kite.
You know what he was talking about, but he was cool.
Yeah. But then afterwards, you know, he said some shit.
Yeah, he said some bad shit. But
you know, before then, we were like, hey, why are you, damn, that's fucked up.
Even Vince was a guy that looked at Billy Graham as sort of the prototype for what he wanted. He wanted Hulk Hogan and, you know, eventually all the later superstars to be in his company. So again, there's no way to possibly overstate, you know, how big of a legend and influence he is in the pro wrestling industry.
Remember what fucking Legends of Wrestling game was he in? I remember playing as him in Legends, in one of the Legends of Wrestling.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, but there was two of them, one or two, but he was definitely in one.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, it's crazy because he wasn't not in a lot of WWE games. Like his legacy mainly lives on through, you know, the tapes and the, you know, the newsletters and everything written about him and all those types of things, the documentary. So again, check all those things out if you can.
And the entire career of Jesse the Body Ventura.
Yeah, basically. It's like I said at WrestleMania, how, you know, these guys are all the Young Bucks' sons. Most of every major guy that came along in the industry over the past, like, 30 or so years, Billy Graham's sons, really. All those pretty big old much, charismatic blonde white boys.
Billy Graham. That's crazy because that's how it goes. It's like it was a generation that was literally just Billy Graham's sons.
Yeah.
Then there was a generation that was literally Ric Flair's sons.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's definitely now an era where everyone is Stone Cold sons. I don't want to hear it. And, yo, Ember Moon does a fucking stunner. Fucking, everyone does a fucking, every single fucking wrestler has a variation of the stunner now. The Young Bucks are that era where there was a lot of Jeff, you know, the Hardy Boys sons.
The Young Bucks themselves are sons of the Hardys. So, you know, it goes by generation like that, like you said.
And then you can, I mean, they came up around the same time, but, you know, I feel like the Hardys are the sons of RVD.
I mean, the Hardys, sons of the Rockers.
That's who, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
They were big fans of them, yeah.
Yeah, so that's, you know, every one of your favorite wrestlers, they have an influence. They have somebody that influenced them, and Edge somebody the influenced that wrestler. Yeah. Unfortunately,
Jericho was the son of Shawn.
Yeah. So you just gotta, you know, go back and check the history. But yeah, let's move on to, I guess, a little bit more positive thing of news. Nick Khan recently did an interview and confirmed that WWE will be returning to India in September to do a show. We've been talking about lately, WWE and pro wrestling in general has been hot with big companies doing international shows.
I always tell people, when they go to certain places, don't just think of it as them going to that place. There's a lot of surrounding areas that are starving for wrestling too. So they're going to go over there. Same way we saw in Puerto Rico, there was a shit ton of Dominicans. They went out there, they were like, wait, I'm gonna take a boat ride.
And just like at Clash and probably at All In, like there's people from England, but there's also gonna be people from Scotland and you know, people from all different sorts of places in Europe.
So think about in India, there's gonna be a whole bunch of people from Asia and Malaysia and Pakistan and all those guys.
No confirmation of what the show's gonna be, whether it's gonna be like a network special or anything like that, but I have to imagine it's, you know, going to India for all those overseas tours do great numbers for them in the India shows. Shit, if you remember, they literally put the WWE Championship on Jinder Mahal because they wanted to maximize the money they were going to draw for the India tour they were doing like 6 months into his fucking reign. And then, you know, he didn't help the drawing that much, but regardless,
that's what happened. If not, they would have fucking, you know, made him, you know, but the Jinder experiment was just a failed experiment. I feel like it was too little too late.
Yeah. But you saw where their heads were at with it.
Of course, business wise, I understand where you're trying to go, but it's just too little too late.
You gotta it's not build
the way I did with Jinder. We had to try to fast track him and then be like, oh, he's our champion. No.
Build the God Veer. Get him going.
Veer Mahan, bro.
Get him going.
He's He's Indian, you know.
Yeah, Veered. He straight Indian, and straight like he Indian. Has
Get
the whole
motherfucker. Yeah,
he has the whole crazy backstory. Like he was the baseball like guy. Like I don't understand why they just be like the booking Veer is like a regular ass. Like the Veer is coming memes are funny, sure, but like he's dead ass is super interesting person behind all that and
nothing.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I mean, shit, at least Satnam Singh.
At least they got Satnam Singh out there doing shit.
You know, Satnam Singh is out here fucking beating the shit out of motherfuckers and getting tight. Ripping brand new fresh turquoise suits.
Yeah, man, not playing out here. Man, shout out to the World Wrestling Entertainment.
That was a fly suit he destroyed, bro. That shit hurt my feelings.
Monster.
We talk about that later, though.
But real quick, let's talk the Dynamite ratings.
Mm-hmm.
They averaged 814,000 viewers on TBS, down 7% from last week. Second lowest audience total the show has drawn so far this year, even though it's around where they've been for like the last month or two. Mm-hmm. Seventh on the cable charts with a 2.8 in 18 to 49, down 12% from last week. Obviously, heavy competition, as usual. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Boston Celtics and Miami Heat were on. And then you had Vanderpump Rules.
Again.
They just can't be stopped. 1.8 fucking million viewers for Vanderpump Rules and an 8.3 in the demo rating. That's fucking insane. Like, that's better than Raw. What the fuck?
What are all y'all Karens going on about?
That's better than the demo rating, at the very least, is better than SmackDown. Like, that's the crazy. Vanderpump shit going crazy.
Who's watching this shit, bro?
Man, y'all are fucking with this Vanderpump shit. With that said, it's looking like it's time to get to the Dynamites.
Mm-hmm. I'm wearing all this Austin shit, but are you ready?
I believe I am ready.
No, I said, are you ready?
I am ready.
Then, for the thousands in attendance.
You know, it's just us.
And the millions watching at home.
Yeah, the millions.
And for one mayor who needs to go fuck himself.
Fuck that. Get him out of here. Pack him up. Get him out of here.
Ooh. Let's get ready to banter.
AEW Dynamite from Austin, Texas.
Hence the shirt.
Yes. We open up with Wardlow, the TNT champion.
This is Ward's.
Well, Wardlow's music played, but then Joe Swanson came out. I was like, yo, what? This man was Joe Swanson out, had the full fit on. Gray shirt, blue jeans, and then Wardlow comes down to the ring, and he says, you know, Christian Cage came out here last week, and he made some promises that I really want to see if he keeps. So you get down here right now, and you spit in my face if you really bout that shit.
Whoa, Paul.
Listen. Christian said he was going to spit in his face.
Pause.
And Wardlow said, I dare you.
Pause.
Christian Cage comes on down to the ring. He gets right up in Wardlow's face, says exactly what he said last week. Your title reign is coming to an end. You can't beat me. You're not ready for this. And he's hawking it up. He's getting ready to spit in this man's face. But then Wardlow grabs him by the throat like, nah, motherfucker. And then Luchasaurus steps in. But Wardlow fights him off. They start brawling. He gets him away, goes for Christian, grabs him, sets up for the powerbomb. Crowd pops, but the numbers catch up. Luchasaurus takes him down. Christian is directing traffic. He tells this man, go get that under the ring. So Luchasaurus goes out to get that, and it's a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Pulls out the ladder, gives it to Christian, who, of course, is renowned ladder match pioneer.
Yep.
Batters Wardlow with the ladder. Then Luchasaurus chokeslams him on it. Then Christian Cage sets it up in center ring and hits the kill switch on it. And then he takes the TNT title, holds it up right in the hard cam with that cheeky devilish grin. And he stands tall to end this opening segment like soon the God will save this championship. Now we go over Don Callis's shocking, awful actions from last week.
Yeah.
Which, of course, he will speak on tonight. Then we go to our first match of the evening. Darby Allin and Orange Cassidy versus Big Bill and Lee Moriarty. As Lee Moriarty even notes on Twitter, no longer the firm.
Yeah.
It seems like the firm has been deleted. And they've been running this tag match on the house show loop they've been doing lately. Orange and Moriarty start with some wrestling and pin trading before they tag out. And Big Bill is like, I ain't here to wrestle. He fucking throws Darby Allin around the ring. He's able to sidestep Bill, send him outside. Then he and Orange hit a double tope into the break. Then we come back. Darby gets the tag to Orange, who runs wild, gets the big tornado DDT, but Moriarty cuts him off, locks in the Border City stretch. So then they fight in the ring again. Orange goes for the beach break, but Lee resists, so he goes to the corner where Darby comes in, and then they hit a double suplex on good old Lee Moriarty. So then Bill comes back in. Orange hits a stun dog on him. So while he's bent over, Darby runs over, leaps over them both, and hits a code red on Big Bill. That shit was cold. That stun dog into the code red was cold.
But, you know, smooth motherfucker, bro.
Absolutely. Then Bill gets dropped with the orange punch. He's done for. Darby hits the coffin drop. And then he brings this man up and then hits him with a side headlock takeover and pins him for the 1, 2, and 3.
That shit was a fucking bar right there, bro.
Absolutely.
I knew right then and there. I'm like, ooh, he's saying something.
And I remembered immediately because, like I said before, it's such a crazy thing that MJF and Darby have this conflict over that. Like, yeah. MJF, that's how they started that feud before. MJF was like, I'll beat you with a headlock takeover. And then he did. He cheated, but he technically pinned him with a side headlock takeover in their match.
And here he is not cheating.
Yeah. Darby's like, I can do that shit too, but I'll do it fair. So, yeah, it seems like it was definitely a night of the pillars making their own individual statements. This was the first of them. So then we cut to the parking lot. We see the Young Bucks pull up. Young Bucks pull up, but like it instantly. They step out their car, get their bags, they're ready to walk in, and the BCC is right there. Like,
they were like, come on now. Come on.
That's crazy. This is NXT time.
NXT parking lot.
You instantly pull up and your ops are there. What up?
Listen, I've been telling y'all for a very long time, those fans that, you know, they love them some NXT, they love the big shows after the pay-per-views, they loved all that shit, they love the wrestling-based storytelling. Yo, right here.
We got Renee with Wardlow. So Renee's going to interview this man, but then Arn Anderson walks in, fucking slaps the ice pack out of his hand, and Wardlow's like, what the fuck?
He's my head hurt, bro. You going to go press some motherfuckers and not hit me up to bring the Glock? What's wrong with you?
Right?
Arn
was on some OG shit. Like, you don't run up and see the ops without the OG? What's wrong with you? Arn is like, what are you prepared to do, Wardlow? These men are coming to take this fight to you. What are you prepared to do? So Wardlow's like, what am I prepared to do? Takes the mic. He says, Christian Cage, you want to bring out ladders? You want to bring out all these types of weapons? Well, at Double or Nothing, how about you take me on for this TNT Championship in a ladder match? So yeah, it's set up Double or Nothing. Wardlow, Christian Cage in a ladder match for the TNT Championship. I'm with that shit.
Yeah. TJ, he going to go for Christian, of course, in the beeps.
I mean,
I'm going to go for Wardlow because, you know, me.
Yeah. Great way for Wardlow to lose without being pinned.
That would be some shit, bro. Damn. I hope not. He deserves to actually have a run, man. Come on, let him have a run.
I agree, but it's Christian Cage.
But that's I'm saying. He could build him here. You feel me?
He could. He absolutely could. But also Christian Cage.
I'm just saying, logically, I'd have the vet build the Young Buck. Logically.
Yeah, logically. But I mean, Christian Cage. Renee's with Orange Cassidy. She asked him about Kyle Fletcher taking him out last week. And Orange is like, yeah, man, you know, there's a lot of guys that seem to want to fight for this title. So, you know, it's whatever. They can all go talk to Tony Khan, see if he'll give them a match, and I'll fight them all. I love it. He's so fucking tired and worn out, but he's just like, you want to fight? Just fucking go. I'll fight all you.
Yeah, like, this is what I got in this business for. Let's go. I mean, I understand why Renee hella tired, too.
Yeah, shit.
They got run around the whole around, damn area. Some of those got to be pre-recorded because goddamn.
Yeah, because no fucking in kayfabe, what's Renee's steps looking like? They got her running all over the damn arena. You got to go here, the parking lot to interview this person, then the medical office to interview that person. You got to go back to the hallway to interview that person. You got to go to this room and do a sit down.
That setup that we got, you got to go to a setup.
Yeah.
The little stew, and you got to record there and all that.
Yeah. And then you got to come out on stage real quick because you got to talk to this guy.
Yep.
They be having Renee doing everything. now we got Sammy Guevara versus a jobber.
And of course, this is my moment in time.
This is his type of flight. This is his type of flight. We in Texas, so as you know, Sammy.
We in Texas, and it's Sammy Guevara facing a jobber on Dynamite.
Yes, this is Sammy country. Which is funny. Darby got a banger tag match, and Sammy got a jobber. It finished him off immediately. He grabs the mic. He says, you know, every time I'm here, I think about the old days. Think about the ups and downs, everything that led to me being here today. He says, you know, I've grown up in front of you people, and there's been a lot of naysayers that have come along the way, but I never listened to those people. I listen to the shit you can't teach, that stuff in your heart. And in my heart, I know that I will become AEW champion at Double or Nothing. Straight babyface promo crowd was all the way with it, too. The pillars with the storytelling they got going on over here. I like it. Understated, but clear in its intention. You have, like we talked about, Darby going straight at MJF, winning with the side headlock takeover, showing that I remember that and I'm coming for you. I'm showing you what I can do. Then you have Sammy in here, sort of, you know, he spent the first month or so of this feud being on MJF's side and trying to take the easy way out. But this was the Sammy. This Sammy reminded me of when he turned babyface last year, or, you know, back in the last year. and he was, you know, he broke out from Jericho. He was TNT champion, and he was having this real strong babyface run. It reminded me of that Sammy before, you know, everything got fucked up and he turned back heel. But it was sort of Sammy remembering who he was and remembering his potential. So
I'm just going to say this. So you see how he cut that promo?
Yeah.
And how he's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to win. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. Keep that in mind.
Yes. So yeah, keep everything with the pillars in mind throughout the night.
Yeah.
And now we move on. We got Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, and the gang, Double J, Satnam Singh. This man, Double J, got two guitars.
Yep. With the names Dax.
And Cash. Mm-hmm. And they out on the ramp. They throwing it up. But they don't even get a quarter of the way down the ramp before FTR run out. They fucking sneak Satnam. They run up right behind Satnam and push his ass off. Like, they push him into a pool. They pushed his ass off the stage.
Into the fucking tables. And Satnam had a nice teal suit on.
Yeah. The way Satnam fell was crazy. It was like a building falling. I was like, oh shit.
That's a big fall.
Hell yeah.
Oh man, that shit was crazy.
And then they run up on Jared and Lethal. They're brawling, big brawl all around ringside. Yep. Fucking Dax is brawling with his belt on. That's real wrestling right there.
Yep.
This man Dax got his belt on, throwing hands.
You know what's funny about that too? Fucking, there's a part where he starts beating on Jay Lethal, right? And he rips like half, like a whole.
He ripped a whole ass off. Pant leg off.
Yeah. And then he starts beating him with it.
Facts.
I'm like, Jared, book that shit.
This was straight up some crazy ass old school Memphis shit.
Yeah, that's some shit. Like, give me that.
They brawling with the belt on and a bunch of crazy shit going on.
Lethal out here being the best fucking Ric Flair ever. They rip off all his clothes and shit.
Yeah, Lethal is bumping all over the place, going crazy.
He out here with one pant leg and no shirt. And
yeah, got this man looking crazy.
Socks on it and boxes out. It's crazy.
Yeah. Then they got him.
Best Ric Flair impersonation, bro.
Yeah. Then they got Jared down in the ring and they ready to finish him off. But then this woman pops up behind Cash.
Mm-hmm.
And as we see, it is Karen Jarrett.
That's Karen Angle.
formerly known as Karen Angle. Kurt Angle's ex.
TNA.
Jeff Jarrett's current. Yeah, Satnam eventually comes back.
He,
while
he still got on that fly fucking teal suit, but then he rips the jacket in half, and I'm like, no, why? You was looking fly, my guy. No.
He was mad. He was like, y'all fucking pushed me off the stage. He was tight.
Damn, bro. I like that suit, bro.
Yeah, and then, you know, they get the double guitar, take FTR out, heel standing tall. A classic old school territory style angle with these guys. They cooking. Now we got Renee with Darby, and she talks about Darby winning with the side headlock takeover. And she's like, was that a shot at MJF? And Darby's like, you damn right that was a shot at MJF.
See?
Yeah. So again, for anybody that didn't realize, yes, it's referencing the MJF feud.
Yep.
But then Sammy Guevara walks up, says, you know, Darby, there's something you told me a few weeks ago that stuck with me. You know, you said you're not going to become world champion unless you stop being a follower. You know what? You're right. So at Double or Nothing, I'm not going to lay down for Max. And I'm not going to make it easy for any one of you either. But one of us is going to take the belt off of that prick. So he puts out his fist, and Darby's like, may the best man win. Gives him a fist bump, and they walk off.
Yep.
So again, we see this story of the other three pillars starting to have a little bit more self-realization. And now they're also starting to come together around the fact that, you know what? Fuck MJF. Even regardless of which one of us wins, we're going to make sure he doesn't win. We got Hikaru Shida and Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, versus
apparently, Outcast. Apparently, Jamie Hayter's injured.
Yes, this was originally a trios match, but Jamie Hayter is injured. So Saraya sits on the outside as Tony Storm and Ruby compete, and Jamie will be back soon. Listen, Ruby and Tony are out here all leaning all the way into.
Fine.
Yo, look at Tony's ass. I'm like, bro, why?
The whole time slapping butts, bro. And I'm like, right. The cameraman behaved at least a little bit.
Yeah, he wasn't wilding in this match, even though you would have thought he was, because Ruby and Tony were practically saying,
they
you
was
see
wilding.
You see it?
Last Do week you they see heard it? Us because the cameraman was wilding.
Yeah.
And then they were like, yo, the cameraman's going to chill because they told him he was wilding. All right, so we got to ramp it up.
Juice might have saw that man. Juice might have been like, hey, let me talk to you, bro. Hikaru Shida, fucking shout out to her. Crowd was loving Shida. You love to see it. The heels take over on Britt, though, leading into the commercial break. Britt fires up on Tony, but Tony sends her outside while Saraya attacks her while the ref is distracted. Because, you know, that's how the Outcasts play the game.
Yeah.
They'll always do distractions when they can. They come back. Britt gets the hot tag to Shida, who runs wild. Ruby tries to throw hands, but Sheeta's like, you ain't built for that. And she makes her pay. Then she makes Tony pay. And then also Saraya. And then she dives on all of them outside. Shida gets a big comeback. Does the deal. Falcon Arrow. For one, two, she got her. No, she kicked out
What's
of the
What's going
deal.
On with her doing the deal and not getting it done?
Right? It's crazy. It's because she ain't been around enough. That's You got to get her back in the fold, TK. Consistent.
So she can start fucking doing her gimmick because it's fucking me up.
Yeah, because then she'll win with the deal again. You got to get
I'm
she I'm patting
down the wrong side and shit.
Shida makes comeback, does the deal. Then Britt comes back, hits the air raid crash. But again, Saraya distracts the ref. And that allows Tony to come in, grab the spray can. And then she sprays Britt in the face. And then she hits Storm Zero for the 1, 2, and 3. Tony gets the win. Tony out here cooking. But we're going to see why in a second. Then we go to Renee with Orange Cassidy, who has spoken to Tony Khan seemingly. And then Orange is like, he's still tired as fuck. He's like, yeah. So Tony, he said, yeah, there's a lot of guys that want to fight me. So he said, they all can. In this, we're going to do a battle royal at Double or Nothing. And, you know, there's 20 people in that, right? So I would make 21. So, yeah, we're going to do a blackjack battle royal. Wait, Renee. Do you want to be in it? And then Renee's like, nah, I'm good.
she takes a second like, nah.
Because Taz is like, you know, she thought about it there for a moment. She'd been hanging out with her husband. She's like, you know what? Maybe I should.
Renee joins the BCC.
She just takes off her shirt. It's a BCC fucking shirt underneath.
Crop top or some shit. Yeah.
We go back to Tony Khan. who, after last week's big announcement,
has
a big announcement.
Oh, God.
He says, as you may know, today at the WBD Upfronts, we revealed our new show, AW Collision, premiering on Saturday, June 17th. And that's why I didn't talk about Collision going in, because let's talk about it now. Collision, yeah. It's confirmed. It's official. It's Nitro. It is literally the Nitro logo.
They made the Nitro logo.
Yeah.
And I wonder how WWE feels about that.
Yeah.
Being that they own all of WCW's properties.
Yeah. But I love that they did it. I love that they did it. Like, WCW Nitro probably had one of the best aesthetics for a wrestling show of all time. So, yeah, rip that off. Well, absolutely rip that off.
We're going to have the blue show, which is this one right here.
Yeah.
And now we're going to have the red and orange show. So, you're going to be happy too.
I talked about in the announcement. It talked about this roster and basically the people that came back last week, Thunder Rosa, Miro, Andrade was announced as part of this roster. All the champions were on the poster. Pretty much every big name that you might have expected out of this and that has been talked about. Hobbs is on the poster.
Yep.
CM Punk
got taken off all this shit.
Yeah, there was just one big omission. And you can probably guess who that was.
Yep.
He lays out the touring schedule for Collision, where he lays out the few dates. A couple of them are going to be in Canada in conjunction with the Forbidden Door build. And then after that, they're going to Jersey, which I actually might want to get tickets for that. Then he says, you know, there's only one show that doesn't have a location, and it's the first one. So then Tony says, stay tuned, because next week I have a big announcement on the location of the premiere episode. So we really booked this shit. That whole bit we did last week about Tony Khan announcing an announcement and the announcement being another announcement is legitimately what he did. That's crazy.
All right, so I'm going to make an announcement right now. That next week I'm going to make an announcement about making an announcement on the following week. And in that announcement, I will make an announcement that announcement will be announced at the week before that, and that All In, we will have an announcement.
So that's why I think the network is denying Punk, because I think next week's announcement is the United Center, and then, of course, with that, CM Punk.
Let's fucking see.
There's a lot of around, you know, Punk and AEW right now, as it tends to be whenever, you know, their names are brought up in this type of capacity. But
he's like, bro, I've been off TV for like 9 months now.
Yeah, 9 months. Y'all still keep talking about me.
Niggas could have had a whole baby in this time.
Yeah. But I mean, we're going to see. We're going to see what's going on next week. He announced an announcement, and the announcement was another announcement. So Falls Count Anywhere. Roderick Strong versus Chris Jericho. So Roddy comes down. Jericho comes down. Judas is rocking, crowd singing along. Roddy was nice enough to let the crowd finish. They were doing the Judas, and Roddy's just chilling in the corner. As soon as they did the last Judas in my mind, Roddy was like, he ran over.
He's polite.
Very polite. Very, very polite. He's like, I'm going to let you get your shit off, then I'm going to whoop your ass. We start this match off. It starts off like a classic Roderick Strong match. They're throwing chops. They're throwing backbreakers. They're wrestling in there. They're doing some real strong style shit. Then they hit ringside and they go outside. They start brawling. We get a little hardcore with it.
Yeah.
Then they start fighting into the crowd and going up the stairs.
Yeah.
And this is turning very rapidly into an Attitude Era match.
Yes, but continue.
So then they continue to fight up the crowd all the way into Mezzanine Jones, brother. Yep. Jericho suplexes this man through a table. Fact, shout out to Taz. They fight out to the merch stand. Where Roddy gives them a backbreaker on the fucking counter.
Did you peep that one dickhead that kept trying to fucking get in the fucking shot?
Yeah, he was just kept crying. Eventually, one of the security guys was like, all right, bro, please, get the fuck back.
Fucking
do you want me to take you out on national TV?
Landed on a counter that had no give.
Yeah.
Spine first, just and your ass is over here like, fuck. And it wasn't until like there was like 15 of these motherfuckers that nigga got caught. Just like you're gone now. Everybody's runs over here now. So
yeah, because now that whole concourse section is filled with fucking fans who are looking at them raw.
Yep.
The crowd is chanting Y2J. So Jericho looks at them and is like, fuck you. He flips the wall off.
Don't use my old gimmick.
Don't call me that shit.
That WWE shit. Get that shit the fuck out of here. Even though he's a sports entertainer, he's over here like, nah, get that shit the fuck.
So they go out to the stairs where they fucking, Roddy throws him over a platform. And for a second, and just like the commentators, I thought Roddy like murdered him, like threw him down the fucking steps. Same, I was like, yo.
Same, but it was actually just a little platform.
Yeah, it was a little platform there and he was safe. I was like, oh, okay.
Austin right behind him or something.
Yeah.
Nice little graffiti, but it was nice. Like it was like it was designed to look like that. Yeah. They were talking about, you think anybody's ever been pinned on that shit?
Yeah, right. Yeah, because they literally do a pin on it. Aubrey's got to count on like the rail.
Yeah, the rail. So she counted sideways and shit like this.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, one, two. Two.
Aubrey's the best, bro.
Facts. Well, Aubrey was dead ass ref and shit. Like, she was taking it serious. Like, it was a regular match. Like, I gotta count.
Count anywhere, nigga. Fuck it.
Yeah, false count anywhere. That's what they said.
Yep.
So then they go back out. Roddy throws plastic cutlery at Jericho, then attacks him with Mr. Softy. He yells Tony, the ice cream.
He got in his ear and shit.
Yeah.
Ew.
Fucking Jericho's like, he's walking over with all the ice cream all over his face. Yeah, then Roddy eats some of the ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah, we got all over him. That's nasty.
Fucking, when Tony goes, Mr. Softy, Taz goes, oh, I got heat with him. Fucking Taz.
Why he got heat with Mr. Softy?
Facts. I guess because he on a diet. I'm not
at fucking 4 in the morning. Shut the fuck up! Shut that shit the fuck! And then Hook wakes up. Daddy, I want...
Hook used to always ask me for ice cream.
You imagine this is the reason why?
Right. Hook always woke me up at 3:30 in the morning trying to get ice cream.
Fucking Mr. Softy. Shut the fuck up. And you know the ghetto ones that aren't Mr. Softy?
Oh, yeah, with the fucking other music. Yeah, back to the match. They fight. They're Jericho starts walking Roddy down, and Roddy's backing up. He's like begging off. And Jericho's like, fight me, strong. Fight me. And Roddy's backing out. He's backing out. He walks outside the door. At first, I'm like, no. Because I'm thinking, once they step outside, the Jazz is going to be out there. Because, you know, banned from the building. And they're outside the building.
Yes.
But Roderick Strong had this in mind, too.
Yes.
He had a plan.
Yes.
So he leads Jericho outside the building. And as soon as Jericho steps outside the door, the camera pans around from Roddy to Jericho. And we see behind Jericho a very angry Adam Cole.
Behind you!
And Cole gets him, takes him over to the fucking dirt patch, beats his ass, lowers the boom on him. Mm-hmm. Then Roddy hits him with the big knee. Jericho's laid out in the dirt patch. That
was a V-trigger, fam.
Yeah, then Roddy covers him, gets the one, two, and three in the dirt patch. Roderick Strong defeats Chris Jericho. This had serious WWF 1999 Hardcore Championship vibes. I liked this a lot. This was super fun.
Or those random episodes of Nitro that went everywhere.
Facts. This was also Nitro vibes in that. One of those crazy brawls that would go all over the arena and end up in fucking a random ass spot.
Member of the NWO.
Yeah. So very, very fun this was. I dug this a ton. We got Roosh versus Jungle Boy Jack Perry.
So holla at me right quick, right?
Yes, sir.
We got Darby Allin. It's a nice little cozy tag team match, right?
Yeah. That's so fantastic.
He got to do all the work. He just out here to send a message. Sammy Guevara, you know, He out here. He got a little showcase match. They gave him a jobber. There you go. In and out. You know what I'm saying? Jungle Jack Perry. We going to give you a whole ruse to have to deal with. And Los Ingobernables. So yo, why they do this shit to Jack Perry?
Yo.
They did him dirt, bro.
I mean, it's Roosh, so you already knew it was gonna be brutal, but even yeah. for Roosh, she was on a different type of time tonight. Jungle Boy offered his hand, handshake, and Roosh was like, "This ain't Ring of Honor, baby." Kicks Facts. His hand away, and then just starts to beat the shit out of Jungle Boy.
He murders this man.
He's throwing him around the ring, threw him outside, then he just grabbed the camera, started yelling in the camera. Pure fucking brutal shit. This man was evil.
He grabbed his nuts at a certain part.
Yeah. I was like, nah, Roosh is feeling different tonight.
Cushy match. Fucking Jack Perry. Die.
Yeah. You got to face a former world champion. We come back from the break. Jungle Boy is bleeding now.
Yep. Damn. The other two is just tired.
Yeah.
This motherfucker out here leaking. Damn, man.
Get his ass whooped.
Wow.
So he's fighting Roosh up top. Jose tries to sweep the leg, but Jungle Boy shakes him off, locks on the snare trap. Then they fight to the apron where Roosh just grabs him by the fucking head, then wipes the blood off his chest, licks the blood. Then Jungle Boy rushes him on the apron, and Roosh is ready for it. He back suplexed him onto the floor, and it was the nastiest fucking looking bump. Jungle Boy almost landed on his damn head. Oh,
y'all,
my
y'all
God.
Gotta slow down. Y'all kids got to slow the fuck down.
This was insane.
Y'all kids is wilding.
Then they get on the floor. They're throwing hands, and Roosh just fucking rocks Jungle Boy with a straight right hand. I'm like, yo, why are you doing this to him?
Violent shit, bro. It's violent shit.
He beats him down. And then he is savagely beating the fuck out of Jungle Boy to the point where the ref is like, hey, he steps in. And then Roosh is like, get the fuck off me. And he pushes the ref away. And that's where Jungle Boy takes his opportunity. He grabs Roosh, rolls him up, and grabs the tights for the 1, 2, and 3. And he gets the victory by literally the skin of his teeth.
He grabbed the tights, man.
Like, desperation.
Is some of that shit MJF was talking and telling him about starting to creep in?
MJF said, you're not ready to be world champion, in no small part because you're not willing to do what it takes to win. And this was a situation where Jungle Boy was completely fucking outmatched. Roosh dog walked him.
So listen to this. I can beat you with a headlock takeover. Beat some motherfucker with a headlock takeover. Your problem is you a fucking follower. Comes out here and wins a match on his own. You ain't got what it takes. You're too soft. Wins with some Healy shit. You see? You fucking see?
The storytelling.
People ask me why I like AEW. Nigga, look. Look at the shit that they doing. Without telling you, they showing you.
Exactly. All you got to do is pay attention. That's literally all you got to do. Look, pay attention.
Look. Just look. Pay attention and remember.
Yeah.
Look.
Like, they told separate stories that filled in the angle for all four pillars tonight. Like, I think this was the best week of this pillar's feud so far, just because of the way they laid everything out. Like, I thought everything that was laid out so cleverly on this show.
It's like I said, all that talking before ended up paying off because now it's all actions against all the thing that was spoken about.
Yes.
Which is why I told you, TJ. Let them cook.
He had a vision. You had a vision, Tony. I respect it. This match was fucking great. I love this match. For everything we just talked about and how, you know, it set up that part of the Jungle Boy story. And then it also serves the purpose of making Roosh look strong, even though he lost. Because, like, yeah, he lost, but bro, if you watch this match, he dog walked Jungle
him
Boy
on everything. He threw him into Barry the Barricade. He threw him into the post. He threw him left, right, and center. He fucking, they beat him so bad that they started fucking, even after the match, they started fucking whooping his ass and trying to choke him out. And they had to get the other pillars to come out and save
exactly.
him.
Yep. And then that's the other part of it. Afterward, the LFI is beating him down. Then Darby comes down for the save. They beat down Darby too. So now the crowd's chanting for Sammy. Then Sammy runs down. He makes the save. The pillars fight off LFI. And now we see the end shot. The pillars are all united. They're opponents. But again, like we talked about earlier, they have one goal in mind other than win the world title. Make sure that we take it off Max. And Max, then we cut to Max in the back, who is looking at all this unfold. And he is very unhappy.
Heated.
Yes, because everything we're saying is all working against him now. He had this plan that he thought was going to help him keep the title, and now it's blown up spectacularly in his face.
He basically said, he basically told all of them, like, yo, yeah, all worthless, and this is why. And they said, bet.
We'll show you worthless. We always knew this match would be a great match because of the talents involved. But the story they're putting behind it now, they're really cooking something with this. He is, again, pissed off that the pillars are not only not dead, but unified and getting the title off of him. So Renee walks up and she asks him about the match. You know, how do you feel now that they seem to be all determined to get that belt off you? And he turns around and he stares at her, glares at her. Slaps the mic out of her hand and just storms off.
And she hits him in the ding ding now.
Right? Be careful, bro. You really want to see Mox? You really want to see Mox again?
Get your ass with, bro. Yeah. Well.
So now we're with Renee again with Toni Storm. She got a new mic and everything.
I don't know. I'm telling you, bro, she can't be teleporting like this. They doing something.
Marvez might have taught her the powers.
Pre-recording like half of these.
You might have taught
her. Why she looks so cute with her damn messy buns. Jeez. And that scowly face.
Listen, the sexiest scowl in existence, this woman, Toni Storm. So Renee is with Toni, who again, all those wins in a matter of days. And Tony's like, yeah, I have all those wins in just a few days. And you know who doesn't? You know who's not even here tonight? The champion, Jamie Hayter. Where is the champion? I want my shot, Jamie Hayter. I want a rematch at the Women's Championship. I demand you face me at Double or Nothing for the title. And then I fell to my knees in the club. I was like, again, they're doing it again.
They're trying to break our brains, bro. They're trying to break our brains, man. Jamie Hayter, I want the gold, sucker. We coming for you. Let me not.
She can't say that. She knows she can't say that. But yeah, it's confirmed.
She can't say that.
It's confirmed. Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter once again for the Women's Championship at Double or Nothing. Once again, I thought it would have been Ruby, but Toni makes sense given what, like they said, she's been winning a bunch of fucking matches lately. So yeah,
hell yeah.
So that's who you get the shot.
She deserves it. Speaking of her man.
Yes, here he comes.
This nigga the fuck.
Accompanying old Jay White to the ring so he can take on Absolute Ricky Starks. The Switchblade versus the Absolute One. We open up with Jay playing some cat and mouse with Ricky to take advantage, but Ricky, he also riding that home state power. Inside, they go back inside. He hits him with the big high angle Uranagi, does Jay White, then goes for the Blade Runner.
No, you are. Sorry.
You are Uranagi. But Ricky elbows him away. Juice keeps trying to interfere, but every time he tries, the ref looks at him like, hey! And Juice is like, I'm sorry. Backs away.
Yeah.
So we come back from break. Jay rushes Ricky, stacks him for the 1-2. He got him. No.
No.
Stark pops off the ropes for the spear, goes big for the Rochambeau, but Jay White blocks it, and Juice runs in with a chair, and then Ricky takes it. While the ref is back his turn, he takes out Juice with the chair. And then he turns around. She's got Jay White set up. And then, but the ref has turned around. He's like, don't do it. And then Ricky's like, ah, fuck it. And he hits Jay White with the chair. And it's a DQ. It's a DQ.
It's a DQ, but I understand.
I understand.
I understand because I don't motherfucker. Like it,
but I understand.
Motherfucker, I would have too. You understand?
Like, y'all been fucking on this man for weeks. Shit. Yeah. They've been fucking on this man for weeks. He tired of this bullshit. I get it. I don't like it. You understand? I don't like it.
I don't like it, but I'll allow it.
I'll allow it. For me, it's just like, you know, the thing I always say with pro wrestling is know your personnel. Know what the strengths and weaknesses of your wrestlers are. And this was building up to be a really fucking good match because, of course, it's Jay White and Ricky Starks.
Yeah.
Until it got cut off. And I understand the part of that is to build the heat for the pay-per-view match because they're going to run it back. But I feel like you have two guys, three guys, because Juice is here too. You have three guys who are all really good talkers, who all can fucking talk shit, work that microphone, and build up a feud just by cutting promos on each other. And I feel like if you really wanted to build the heat, you could have just had them cut promos. I feel like we haven't had enough promos from these guys to build this thing.
Ain't you complain about the whole... I
mean, what? Show, not tell?
Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes you do got to talk. Like, you do. Do you not have to talk sometimes? Yeah. But and I feel right like now, if you want to build a story with guys and you don't want to necessarily beat one and, you know, you don't want to... I feel like other than doing a DQ, you can do a situation where you give them a live promo. Like they've been doing with Lethal and Jared and them. They've been giving them live like the promo segments.
Coming. I feel like the promos are coming. So just
probably are. But I mean, we got 1 week to the pay-per-view at this point. I feel like we could have gone.
That'll be the one.
I feel like we could have more, though. That's what I'm saying. Like even if we get the one and the one is great. Like imagine we get it next week and then like they kill it. They have a great promo. Then I'm going to feel like, you should have been doing this all the whole time.
I feel you. But, I mean, again, I feel like you also don't want to copy the same formula you're using over here, over there. So I understand, too, where Tony's coming. He's trying different shit.
I get it.
He's trying to see what cooks, you know?
I'm never another opposed
thing that,
to
that people also have to remember, too, like, this is his first time really doing this shit. So, you know, he's getting there. He's learning a lot of shit. And to be honest, since its inception to where it is now, he's way better at fucking booking shows.
Yeah, for sure. Like he's learned a lot.
Fucking Dave Meltzer was over here like nom 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 nom.
from Rip, he was good. Like he was putting on good shows from the Rip, but he's definitely gotten better. It's time for the main event.
I mean, just the main segment, but yeah.
The main segment. Don Callis comes down to explain his actions. That piece of shit.
Or does he?
And the crowd lets him know that he is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But he P-O-S. Grabs the mic.
P-O-S. Yes.
They are chanting at him. Point of sale? What do you mean? But he says,
two-touch
P-O-S, I am the victim here. All right, people? I am the victim. No, after not. Everything I did for Kenny Omega, he lists
your
off.
Son.
Yes, he lists off all his accomplishments. And the way he breaks it down, too. I was the one that got with Kenny and convinced him to go face Chris Jericho, Alpha versus Omega. When Kenny Omega won the world championship, that was my first night. That was a bar. My first night in the company, Kenny Omega won the world title. Yep. That was all because of me. I was the guiding force behind Kenny Omega. And without me, Kenny, what are you? And Kenny comes out, not wanting to hear another word from this man. And he looks up. Yeah, he's done with him. He comes down to get Don, but Don's got the security brigade set up. So they walk up to Kenny to try to stop him, but got AEW security. So you already know what's about to happen. Kenny starts taking out the security, beating him down. But then again, the BCC are on absolute demon time. Like they don't, there's no preamble. There's no fucking, they show up and do a dramatic. We're going to jump. Nah, they just show up and fucking jump
here?
You. They just on site. They are the definition of on site. Oh, they right there. Let's go get them.
These motherfuckers are walking NXT parking lot.
Facts. I don't ever want to have beef with the BCC. I don't ever want to have beef with them because I'm going to have to be looking over my shoulder the whole time.
Nah, I got the proper people in places if need be.
But on the road, they're going crazy. Yeah. On the road, they're going crazy.
Y'all going hard.
So they take him down, and then Mox grabs the mic in the ring. He tells Kenny Omega, he tells the rest of the Elite, all of you stay down. The war is over. We are the guiding force in this business. We are the Elite. And he stands tall. Did you
peep your boy with the jersey version of the shirt?
Oh, yeah.
They all got it's like silkier. It's not like the rest of the shirts.
Yeah. I want to see that sitting.
You about to look that up?
I am about to look it up.
Like, I want that one. Yeah.
But yeah, Mox is basically telling them, you can't hang with us. We are the Elite now. We have taken your spot. But then that brings out the Young Bucks. They're all banged up. They come in a fight. They get Kenny up. They got a trash can full of weapons, ready to head down to the ring. But then
Kenny got the damn broom with the goddamn barbed wire on it.
Yes.
The cleaner.
It's time. It's cleaner time. But, still 3-on-4. And a fucked up 3-on-4. Like, these three just got their asses beat by these four.
Yep. And so they got a Don Callis.
Yeah. So they might need some help. Q, none other than the Cowboy, Hangman Adam Page. This man comes out eye patched up. He got an eye patch on.
Yeah, he look like a cowboy legit now.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's shoot or what's going on there.
Yeah, he comes out with his own weapon, with his own, bunch of weapons. He looks at his boys.
Did you peep that the eye patch matches the boots?
Yes.
And the belt?
Yes. Hangman was already stylized.
He's like, all right, the belt's going to be like a dark tan. The shoe's going to be a dark tan. So my eye patch got to be a dark tan.
I got to rock it.
I got to accessorize.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, Lord.
So he comes out. He looks over at the Bucks, who he's been cool with the Bucks. But it's Kenny, who he's had the frostiness with. So he and Kenny, they share a look. And with just one nod, practically, it's understood that we're on the same side again.
Yep, the cleaner has cleaned.
Yeah. Clean slate, we good. Mm-hmm. Hangman hands him the broom. Kenny takes it, and they march on down to the ring, and the brawl pops off. Elite goes in the ring, goes crazy with the weapons. They take out the BCC. Poor Yuta is left alone in the ring with them. And that little shithead gets his ass whipped.
He escapes.
they do save him. But he got a bit of an ass whooping there for a moment.
Let me tell you, though, right quick. Nick Jackson going to have to fight me for them goddamn blue fives that he got on. You see them all blue fives that he got on?
Yeah.
Fam, I will fight him for those.
I mean, shit, you know that's
my color. You know that's my color, bro.
Probably paid a crazy ass price for him, too.
Right? Fucking rich motherfuckers.
Facts.
They got all the cool shit. They ain't got no fucking thousands of dollars to pay for no fucking shoes.
Right. It's a bit on BTE that Matt's wife is always complaining that they're buying sneakers.
I mean, they do buy a hell of a lot of fucking shoes, bro. And I'm over here like, bro, if I had the bread, but I don't. There's a few of them that I would get out there if I had them. But at the same time, I'm not materialistic. I'm not that kind of guy. So,
yeah.
You know, at the same time, it's like I wouldn't really pay that much. I'd fight a motherfucker for them.
You shoot the fair one. You do it the fair way.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, if I beat you, I get your fives, your fours, and your threes.
Yeah, man. the BCC is laid out. They escaped. They're tail tucked between their legs for the first time in a while in this feud. And then Hangman grabs the mic. Beforehand, though. We have that same shot that is like the core of this whole Elite story. yep. where it's Hangman standing at the edge at the ropes and the other three standing behind him. And how many moments have we had that exact shot after Revolution, after mm-hmm. Dynamite? Mm-hmm. It's always been that shot. And you've always wondered what's going to happen in that moment. But this time, you know, he turns around and walks toward them. And then he gang. Takes the mic and stands with them.
Gang.
The gang is reunited. He says, "We are the heart. We are the soul of this place. We are." And then he looks at the Bucks, looks at Kenny. And they're like, "We are the elite." The crowd pops elite. Crazy.
The elite.
And Hangman says, "You better run. You better hide while you can, because at Double or Nothing, it's going to be Blackpool Combat Club and the Elite Anarchy in the arena."
ECW.
And the show goes off the air with the Blackpool Combat Club in shock. The Elite finally, fully reunited.
Yep.
What an ending to the show. This shit was inspired. It's something about these Southern crowds, man. Like, mm-hmm. when Tony goes to places like Texas, he gets deep in that territory WCW bag. Yeah. And it comes off so well because these crowds are so hot. Like,
yeah.
Texas got to get a pay-per-view. Because every time they go to Texas, Texas goes crazy.
Except for Corpus Christi.
Except for, but even for AEW, even Corpus Christi was good.
Damn, but for WWE.
Yeah, for fucking years, they were the worst WWE crowd. They get one AEW show, they going crazy.
Maybe it's just the wrestling.
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. And listen, in turn, when WCW died, there was a whole swath of wrestling fans that just stopped. Because WWE wasn't their style. It wasn't what they jived with. So now you have another company coming along all these years later. They do more of what those people might like. So maybe that's why they're coming out for this stuff.
Hmm. Ain't it funny, though? It's still technically a Northeast brand, by the way, Texas guys. It's not a Southern brand, but I mean, they give you a little Southern, though.
Yeah, Southern vibe. And I mean, again, like, I know Tony loves Chicago, and Chicago's great, but yeah, we got to show Texas some love because they show up for AEW. They really do. That's Dynamite. I thought this was a very, very good show with some awesome. I'm glad you
said it because I was about to say Rampage.
Yeah. This was not Rampage, baby. That show is Friday at 6:30. There's another fucking
show. I'm going to have to watch it on the fucking channels afterwards.
Yeah, we're going to have to check out the channels, but.
Why you do this to me? Why you do this to me? It's making it early in the afternoon.
It's that playoff shit. I guess it's either 6:30 or 2 in the morning.
Nah, do Saturday. I like Saturdays.
Yeah, Saturday works.
Saturdays at 10 have been nice.
Maybe there's something going. Maybe there's like a game or something on Saturday. There probably is. That's probably
why. But you know when we do Saturday, it's always a nice little vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why I think Collision is going to end up being a lot of fun. Unless there's pay-per-views, which I don't know how they're going to work that out.
Yeah, because that's the thing with the Collision time. Because now that WWE does their shows on Saturdays, there's going to be those days where they compete. And unlike before, it's not even like WWE's trying this time.
Yeah.
It's just going to be
that's coincidence. That's where you sat yourself and that's where you're going
to
be.
Yeah, this time it's your fault. Usually it's them trying to compete, but this time it's literally your fault.
It's you why put yourself I've been there. Saying put it on Tuesday or move Dynamite to Tuesday. There's nothing going on Tuesday. Well, it's so serious, I'm making a come Tuesday. Fuck.
Crazy part is they probably could beat NXT in the ratings, but
they will smoke NXT in the ratings. They did it last time.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say they did it once.
Imagine now where there is no competition.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no competition in fucking NXT. What the fuck are they doing? Yeah. Fuck out of here with that. That's not a liable fucking reason. Get them niggas off the air.
I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens with Collision and everything tied to that. But strong show with strong pay-per-view build, leading to Double or Nothing. Like, yeah. I loved so many of the major story developments on this show. I thought there was a lot of good wrestling. Like, definitely one to check out here. Great, great show.
Yeah, for the past 2 weeks, they've gone back to the same, you know, routine of how they tell stories. And I enjoy it a lot better because then it makes me feel smart. Because then I'm like, did you see what they did? Did you see? If you feel me? Then I feel like I have something to say, but, you know, because they didn't outright say it, you know. So.
Yeah, like they didn't, they let me come to the conclusion. Yeah. And then when they finally say it, it's like, yeah, I knew it. I was right.
See, then your brain is like, it happened literally on this show earlier. I like that.
Great storytelling going on. Like a great storytelling episode of Dynamite. Honestly. Yes, really, really good storytelling episode of Dynamite. If you ever hear they don't tell stories, know that that is a lie.
Y'all just got to get into fucking match, you know, story-based match.
They don't tell stories like WWE does, but they tell stories. God damn. Yeah. It's match-based storytelling. It's subtle storytelling. It's you know, it's different forms of storytelling than guys cut a promo together and then video recaps for 5 weeks or whatever.
It's not starting the show with like 15 promos.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? It's actual, okay, we're watching this match and in this match they're over here telling a story.
Yeah.
Versus let's get on the mic for like an hour and bore these people with the same type of rhetoric we've been saying for the last 20, 30 years. And beat you over the head with it. Like, no. No.
Yeah.
I'm over it. Give me this. I like this.
Yeah.
I like feeling like I'm smart.
Yeah. It is good to feel like, it's good to feel rewarded for investing yourself in something. That's always a good thing. So, praise.
Well, there's been enough talk.
It's time to get the fuck out of here.
It's time to let them know where to find us.
Yeah. Already know where to find us. Find us on Instagram at RambleMania Show and at Banter Club Podcast. Find us on Twitter at RambleMania, Facebook.com/RambleMania Show. Also find our group there, RambleMania Show's Banter Club. We'll be any other wrestlers, podcasters, and everybody we associate with, post all our goings on and all that's going down. As far as audio goes, wherever audio is found, that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn, Overcast. Everywhere your podcasts are found, search RambleMania Show or Banter Club. As far as visuals, twitch.tv/RambleMania Show. Spotify video, YouTube, search RambleMania Show or Banter Club. When you get here, like the videos, click subscribe and click the bell so that when the new content drops, it goes straight to you. As for me personally, find me on Instagram at TJ the Great One. That's TJ the GR, the number eight.
Yes.
Find me on Twitter at TJ the Great. That's TJ the GR, the number eight. It's as simple as that.
TJ the Great. TJ the Great. Find me on Instagram at the number 6, the letter X, the letter L, that is at 6XL. Thank you for hitting me up on Instagram because y'all been loving me on Instagram. Much love. Find me on Twitter at SIIXX. Ain't I great? That is at SIIXX. You're all ready. Why am I holding it?
I gotta hold it.
For TJ the Great, bro. I've been the Angel of Death 6XL. And we're going to leave you with a little something we like to call Lydia. But too sweet.
Too sweet.
And a good fight.
And a good night.